For your journey in life, you need direction from the Master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi-Adams.
Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, praise the Lord. Our topic this evening is timely obedience. Timely obedience, praise the Lord. In our month of obedience, the month is already rounding up. Hallelujah. And then this evening we are looking at timely obedience. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. Now before we go further, it is important to understand that God has instructed many of us. And God has told us many things to do. The earlier we obey God, the better for us. Hallelujah. The faster you obey God. You see, a lot of things in our life depends on the speed at which we get into it. If you enter the university when you are 36 years old, by the time you are 41, you are a graduate. Hallelujah. And then somebody that enter at 17, or just told of somebody that just 19 years old going to serve. That means she enters university at the age of 14 or 15, right? Now, the person that is a graduate at 41 and somebody that is a graduate at 19, all of them are graduate, but the speed matters. The speed at which you enter into something. So when God gives you instruction, the speed at which you obey God matters. The speed as God say, now, I want you to go to the ministry. The speed to enter the ministry affect life. Hallelujah. The speed you started your business, God says, start a business. The speed or the rate of obeying God really matters. So today we are looking at timely obedience. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, the Bible says, I returned, Ecclesiastes 9, 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But the last part is my emphasis. But time and what? Chance happened to them all. I remember hearing this encouraging message one time from Apostle Selman. He said that everybody receives an opportunity from God. Everybody get a chance to make it in life. No matter how bad your background is, God will give you an opportunity here and there to be able to recuperate the disadvantages of life. Let's say you don't have a rich father. You don't have connection. You didn't have a good school. Once in a while, God will bring opportunities that can alternate those factors in your life. And the time that come to us and the chance that happened to us, what you do with it matters. The Bible said, the time and chance happened to them all. Hallelujah. I believe you will not miss your time. And you will not miss your chance. In the name of Jesus Christ. From the onset of this ministry, the Lord told me about chances, choices, and consequences. And then very soon we are starting it already. Hallelujah. Because everybody will have a chance. And you have the choice, an opportunity to make a choice. And then every choice you make gives you a consequence, whether positive or negative. Hallelujah. I believe that as we are rounding up in this month of obedience, we'll be able to obey God faster. Now, time to do something timely means to something to be done at the proper time. When you do something timely, when they say you have done it at the right time, it means you have done it at the proper time. It means you have done it at the right time. It means you kept to time. You were early. You acted quickly. You acted in season. It is done at the proper time. It is done at the right time. You kept to time. You were early. You acted quickly. You acted in seasons. Hallelujah. Now, there are facts about timely obedience I want us to know quickly. God will not tell us anything if he doesn't want us to act on it or to start acting on it in some way. Let me put it that way. God will not tell us anything if he doesn't want us to start acting in some way about that issue. Now, I can understand that God can tell you something and then it can start having effect 5 years from now. Are we together? Example, God can say you are 12 years old. God can begin to show you that you have a call to the ministry. That doesn't mean you just go and open a church or something like that. Altogether. But God expects you to start something about what he has told you. What he means by start is, you start preparing yourself for the ministry. You start following people that are in the ministry. You start aligning with ministry altogether. So God say, telling you about a business, about something. God expects you to start something in some way about it. It may not be to open a shop, but begin to study people in that line. Come on, are we together? So anything God tells you, he expects you to act. Give him that Bible, please. God expects you to act exactly. Hallelujah. So anything, in case you have ever seen something in your vision about marriage, about relationship, about anything, God expects you to start what? Acting. The moment God starts, immediately you start thinking about marriage and you know it's from God. God wants you to start praying. It doesn't mean you must enter a relationship. God is telling you, start praying about your marital life. Immediately start thinking about old age. God is telling you, so anything God tells you, he expects you to start acting on that thing in some way. Either studying about it, praying about it, or starting it physically. Come on, hallelujah. I got the call to ministry 2012 or 2011, 300 level, but I didn't start until 7 or 8 years later. But when I got the call, I began to study on ministry, began to prepare for the ministry, began, are we together? So in some way, so the time, you see, the constitution of this ministry was ready. This logo, where's the logo of your church that we used to see? It was designed when I was in 200 level. Yes, it was this logo we are seeing. When God started, I just moved. I just met one guy, came to PowerPoint and said, yes, so how much design? It's 700 easy for me. That is the logo. That is 2011 or 12. I believe if we are doing the logo now, it'd be more stylish. But that's when they did this logo. Because when God told me, I didn't start a church, but you started moving in that direction. Started studying people to follow. So when God tells you anything, expect you to start moving. If I didn't do those things now, and then when I started later, you will have slowed me down. Are we together? Number two. God is not in time, but he factors time into his instructions. God is not in time. That means God does not dwell in time. January, February, March does not affect God. 30 years does not affect God. Are we together? That's what I mean. But when God gives you an instruction, he factors time into that instruction because he knows that we are beings of time. But the Bible says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So one day to God is 1,000 years to men. So God is not affected. We call him immortal or eternal God. If you can decide to waste your time, when you are 70, you die and you go, life continues and God is still on the throne. So the faster we move, because God is never threatened by time. We are the ones threatened by time. So the faster we obey God, the better for us. The man that lived the longest was Methuselah, 969, right? That means, as far as God is concerned, the man did not cross one day, because one day is going to 1,000. He was not up to 1,000. You understand the equation? So, God does not live in time, but when he gives you an instruction, he factors time into it. Number three, I want us to know before we continue is, instructions are captured in seasons, an event. Delay can affect it a lot. Instructions are captured in what? Seasons. That means, when God gives you instructions, it expects you to function in a particular season, and then in a particular event. When you delay your obedience, it can affect it a lot. Ecclesiastes to the 3 verse 1, the Bible says what? There is a what? A time and a season for every activity under the earth. So everything God gives you is factored into time. Delaying it can affect it. Hallelujah. Bible says, when Sarah was to conceive in Genesis 18 verse 10, he said, I will return according to the time of life. So there is a season for everything. Delaying to act in that season will really affect you. And I believe none of us will miss our season. Now that we are young, the Bible says, it is good that you serve God in the days of your what? Your youth. Before the latter days come, I keep saying it, there is a time you cannot fast the way you are fasting now. There is a time you cannot read the Bible you are reading now, because with this kind of light, there is an age you need a glass or you need a brighter light to read now, as I'm reading now. Like you cannot pray marathon. There are certain things you cannot do at a certain age. The Bible says in the time. So instructions that God gives us. So Apostle Aaron may say that he put it this way. Say, as you are young, it's time to build your capacity large. Expand your spiritual heaviness. So that when the challenges of life come on, when you are 60, you begin to draw from a reserve. You know what we call reserves? Those spiritual potential things or potential energies you have saved. So instructions are captured in season, and I pray we will not miss our season. How we will not miss it is by obeying on time. Finally, God is a long-term planner, but he factors his instructions in small-term goals. Very soon we'll be starting Rababa Mentorship, Baba Mentorship, about how to become Racing Kingdom giant. Hallelujah. See, God is a long-term planner. God plans 50 years. Hallelujah. But then when, let's say, we want this structure to have 10 structures on top of it in the next 50 years. That means we have to calculate, first year we build one level. Altogether, we have long-term plan, then we break it down into short-term goals. So that's the way God is. So, you see, most time God will tell you the long-term vision and expect you to obey the short-term instructions so that we can arrive at the Bible says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That is my emphasis. There is a due time for exaltation. But before that time, you have to humble yourself and follow the process. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, was telling me about how God exalted him, lifted him from the ministry from zero to a lot of level of blessings. But it happened in due time. There is a season for it. Are we together? So God is a long-term plan. So obeying his short-term instruction. Example, you woke up in the morning, fast today. Give this today. Don't go here. Don't do this today. All these are short-term instructions that will accumulate to a glorious future. Hallelujah. Now, what are the causes of delay in obeying God? Why do people delay obeying instructions from God? Number one, I said, is confusion and lack of clarity. Many people are confused about life and they are not sure. They are not really clear about a lot of things. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, the Bible says, write the vision and make it what? Plain. To many people, it's not plain. I hear many people, God has called them to ministry and then it takes them 15 years to go to the ministry. Some people, it takes them 10 years. Was it last week I was saying that God was telling me that somebody here was called to the ministry? Was it last week? So after the service, somebody was telling me that thing you said was, you are talking to me. Like everything you are saying was me. I was like, you see, young man, follow. Just don't waste your time. Because you will keep running in cycles until you are back to the spot. Hallelujah. So many people are not confused. You know, I was reading Bishop Mama Faith Oyedepo's post on just this yesterday. She said that if I had not married Bishop Oyedepo when he was shapeless and colorless, I would not be here. Yeah, you read it, right? Yeah. When he was shapeless, colorless, shapeless. So if she didn't marry, if she did not decide to marry in that time, she will not be here. So the decision to just, many people don't obey God on time because of they are not clear. But today we are getting clarity. Anything God wants you to do, your eyes are opening to know it in the name of Jesus. Number two, why people don't obey God? Because of fear and anxiety. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, we are not careful to answer you, O king, concerning this matter. Now, I hear people when God give them some dangerous financial sacrifice. Sacrifice this or give this. The person says, and children's school fees is next week, rent is expiring next month, and you are telling me to sacrifice everything. You know that anxiety, that fear. Now, if I enter ministry, I have 7 children. How will they survive? If I do this, how about this? Because if I start ministry now, no offering, how will I survive? How will I cater for my family? Imagine God sending you to Saudi Arabia to go and plant a church there. Lord, how? With Al-Qaeda, with America living. Those anxieties. society makes people not be able to obey God. Hallelujah. God said, go and pray to this person, and you look at his dreadlock, and you look at his mouth is black, you look like a smoker, you look like a cultist. That's fair. You will not obey God. It's not true. Have you ever told you to preach to somebody and you're afraid before? Or your lecturer, and the man has threatened you, and the man has shouted in your class, go and preach to him. Hey! Charlie, God, what are you saying? Hallelujah. So many people don't obey God because of fear and anxiety. Anxiety kills obedience or makes people to be disobedient. Number three is what I call demonic manipulation. Many people don't act on time because of demonic manipulation. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, O thou Galatians, who has bewitched you? Amos, Acts chapter 8 from verse 9 down to 11, Simon the sorcerer. The Bible says he bewitched them by sorcery. The devil can manipulate you. He knows that if you don't, you know, I was listening to Bishop Doug. He said, when he wanted to marry his wife, he told his wife, why must I delay? I love you, you love me. So why do you waste time? Let's go come out and marry. He said, that it's true. Let's marry. He said, okay, I'm going to the ministry, and I'm going to the ministry now. His friend, Bishop E.T. Isaac, he said, we are going to the ministry, forget about law. What is law? The man studied law. He said, God will take care of us. Let's go now. 24 years. 24 years ministry. Dr. Paul started ministry also at 24. Look at where he is. Pastor David Ebiemi has listened to he's 50 what? Is he 58 or 59 years? 2 days ago, 3 days ago. 59 years. 59 minus 24. 25. The ministry is 24 years old. That means he entered the ministry at 25. See? So us, how old are we? Yes. That's the truth. How about Bishop Oyedepo? People like that. 22. So the devil can delay you until when you are 40. And then you say, I am anointed. So you can raise it there. You see, there is a level you will never reach. You will never reach. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. May the devil not manipulate you and make you miss your season. When you are supposed to start, he will manipulate you. You'll be doing, I pass here, no way. I pass here. You'll be wasting your time. Hallelujah. When the young girl is supposed to settle down and marry, she'll be doing like a peacock. I am fine. Everybody's calling me. Everybody like me. That is the time to sit down and make a decision. They will not. Because you are fine and your phone is ringing. That is when to sit down. The devil manipulate you on all your age mates that should marry you are married. The only person that can marry you now is somebody that his wife has died. Are you understanding me? Somebody that his wife has died. Or a complete prayer point that you two want to escape and settle with. When you were young and fresh, your skin is bubbling. You will not marry. They will not marry. The devil manipulate them thinking they are fine. Settle down with that beauty and get a handsome guy and marry. Don't allow yourself to be manipulated by demons thinking you are fine. Beauty does not last forever. And when men want to marry, they don't marry because of beauty alone. Hallelujah. Number four, lack of revelation of obedience. Don't forget, I'm sharing on causes of delay. Why people delay obeying God? Number one is because of confusion. Number two, because of fear and anxiety. Number three, because of demonic manipulations. Number four, because of lack of revelation on obedience. Now, what is the benefit of timely obedience? Number one, remember today is our communion service, so we have to be fast. Number one, timely obedience can preserve your life. Timely obedience can what? Preserve your life. Genesis 19 verse 15 to 16. When the people, the angels came and met Lot, they told them fire is coming before sunrise. Move. Do you remember? Lot was doing shmesme. Was being phlegmatic with his wife. Bible said the angel had to hold them and take them out to a safe place and then left them there. But the wife was still sluggish, still looking backward, and that was the end of her destiny. She would have lived, and then she left the husband with two children that were backward, immoral in their mind. Even though they are practical virgin, but in their mind, they are not virgin. But they drugged their father, and the father slept with them. And he gave her to Ammon and Moabite. Just imagine. Because if the mother was around, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. So you can preserve your life. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. When Jesus Christ was being threatened by Herod. Herod said, we'll kill. The wise men came to him and said, we saw a star and he's a king. Go and look for him and come back and tell us. But when the wise men left, they refused to come back. And then Pharaoh gave an ultimatum. Kill every child that is how many years old? Less than 2 years old. Any child, male and female, we don't care. The Bible says, Isaiah prophesied, there was cry in Ramah. Rachel weeping for her children. God appeared to, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, zoom Jesus off. If Jesus fell, he was another, he should have remained. Or Joseph should have remained. But then early in the morning, Joseph, straight to Egypt, he would have died. The only thing God would have brought, I don't know what would have happened anyway, I don't know what the Bible would have recorded. But God knew he left. That was why he was preserved. Come on, hallelujah. So sometimes God can say, leave this city now. You can decide to wait for 2 minutes. Before you leave, I heard of a woman, her building was collapsing. And then she was inside, she just felt she should go outside. As she was stepping outside, the house just went down. But sometimes then, if you go home today, Google near safe cases on YouTube or anywhere. Watch videos like that. Near safe or near dead experience or delivered by chance. You see somebody just sitting down. As he just stood up from the story building, heavy metal blood, the seat sank right exactly at the position. Some of them are not even saved. Some of them can be a child going through from the 11th building. As he's about to go down, somebody just catches it down. You see unbelievable stories. Sometimes some of them, it can be their spirit just say, move now. And eventually just stand up. If the person has refused that move and just sat down, that will have been obituary. So sometimes obeying God on time can save your life. You will live longer if you obey God on time. Obeying God to be saved on time will save your life. Instead of having series of mistakes, 13 miscarriages, or 14, or after you have HIV, HIV is almost 8. Now, Lord, I'm available. You will be saved. But how many people get healed of HIV, really? Yes, people testify. But in 1,000 people, how many get healed? And what is the probability that you will be the one of the healed? So it's not going to take that chance. Getting saved on time and be serious with God can save you a lot. Being in church, obeying God to be serious on church will save you from being with bad friends, save you from hearing the wrong information, save you from watching the wrong videos, save you from a lot of things. So obeying God on time, like obeying God to give, is a good obedience. You see, the people that refused to give for the building of the temple of Moses, they are the same people that gave when they wanted to build the golden calf. Hope you know that. So it's either you give to build God's temple or you will give to build the devil's camp. Your money cannot be neutral. It's either you give to church or you give to the devil. One of it must be like that. So obeying God by giving and consistently being faithful to God is for your good. Well, because eventually you will reap it. But people that disobey that gave the golden calf eventually die. So obeying on time can preserve your life. Say, I will obey on time and I'll be preserved. Number two, timely obedience secure and preserve the blessing. Timely obedience secure the blessing. When you obey God on time, it secures your blessing. Bible says Isaac obeyed God. Genesis 26 from verse 1 to 11 down to 25 and refused to go wayward. It secures the blessing. Now many times when I look at my life and the life of my siblings, our lives are a testimony. You know, I had to do something. I was writing biographies. My life is a testimony of parents that served God. Like, many things that happen in our lives as children are just because of our parents. Because my dad told me of how he gave himself to God, new life for Christ, Sabon Roy. That is, equal pastor, you understand? New life. That association for men. He said, all his life, my mom has been dead. All of them served God. And God said, your children will be preserved. My brother said he had friends. All of them were drinking. All were smoking. All were visiting protel. He said that he could not explain why he was not doing it. And he didn't know God. He said that he could not explain why he didn't do it. Because of your parent, the Bible says your seed will be blessed. So you that are serving God now on time, you are securing the blessing for your children. The Bible says the seed of the righteous are blessed. What you are doing today will not only benefit you, it will benefit your children. So double up your commitment because your children will benefit. Number three, timely obedience secure early harvest. Early harvest. Bible says Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? That shall he what? Reap. If you sow on time, you will reap on time. If you sow late, you reap late. Now, people that started ministry when they were young, are they reaping the harvest or not? They are. People that started, anything you start on time, you'll be allowed to reap the harvest. Because everything takes time to grow. Praise God. So if you want to enjoy anything, start it on time. To have early harvest. That's why you must have your children on time. So that they'll be able to. You know, there's an age when they bring meat for you, cannot eat. When you're 75 and then your first child is now 25, that's when he starts working. Because when he's 20, he's not yet working. He starts working at 25. And then he bring Rolls Royce for you. But that time your back is too weak. You cannot sit there in a car for long. You have to sit there in a rocking chair. You're just pampering you to die. Just taking care of you till death. But if you had married on time, when you are 50, your child is 25. Look at Bishop David. Look at your children. The other one, those dedicated glory dome, USA, Maryland. 2,000 capacity. That is his second child. First child is resident pastor. If Bishop is not around, all third service. Heavy, no shaking. Preach in Shiloh as if he's Bishop. Right in his lifetime. The other daughter is running her ministry. The other, all four children, heavy results by marrying on time. Hallelujah. You will not make mistakes in Jesus' name. I prophesy to you, you will not make mistakes. You will act on time and reap your harvest on time. Number four, finally, the benefit of timely obedience is you walk in the perfect will of God. In Romans chapter 12 verse 2, remember I shared with us last week about the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 also. In due time. So, you walk in the path. So, how do you obey God on time? And then we close. We take the communion. Number one is love and reverence for God. When you love and reverence God, you will act on time. John chapter 14 verse 11. The Bible says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandment. If you love somebody, you will act immediately. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Because my wife loved me, if I tell her, please get me a cup of water, quickly she agree. Because out of love, you obey on time. If she doesn't love you, okay, are you really testing now? Okay, let me do something now before I go. She may be doing something. So love and reverence for God will help you to obey God on time. Number two, when you put eyes on the reward of the benefit of obeying, you will obey on time. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, talking about the reward that Jesus Christ got. He obeyed because of, so put your eyes on the reward. What is the benefit of obeying God to be prayerful? What is the benefit of obeying God to study the Bible every day? What is the benefit of fasting? What is the benefit of reading books? See, yesterday I just got to know. Before when I started reading 50 books in a year, I had part of Matthew Ashimolo said he reads 50 books. So I said, he reads 50 books, I will read 50 books. Yesterday I was reading Bill Gates' biography in that book you gave me. I was talking about he too reads 50 books in a year. Yeah. Is it 52? No, 52 books in a year. 50 books in a year. And so what is the benefit of reading 50 books in a year? Expand your mind. That is the same thing with Warren Buffett. All of them. So when you look at the reward of something, it will give you grace to do it. Come on, are we together? What is the reward of righteousness? Righteousness excuses your life from being complicated. Sin can make your life complicated. Like disease, automatic complication. So a disease you keep nurturing till you die. Sometimes one mistake, you will manage the mistake till death. Sometimes you can get entangled in a lot of things. A lot of things you'll be delivering yourself till death. So living righteous can excuse you. I heard from Bishop David Oyedepo on the power of holiness. He said that one of the greatest mistakes and problem of humanity is sin. If you take sin out of humanity, and that is true from Adam, if you take sin from humanity, our life will be more stable. So the benefit of righteousness, you will obey God on time to be righteous. You will not experiment. Hallelujah. You will not experiment. I have somebody saying that, hey, Solomon, it was because he was rich. That is why he said, let everybody, vanity upon vanity. Hey, me too, I want to make the money first, then I will repent. See? Somebody say, ah, this man, the pastor was free, he said that, I was a bad boy before, ladies were like me. Hey, pastor, you too, I will repent. Me too, I want to test him before I repent. What is the guarantee you will survive? Yeah, no, what is the guarantee? What is it? Now, did you ask the pastor how complex his life is now? What if he had a child? Or what if the lady now is not a member of his church? As he's preaching, he's remembering that right that night at Treasures Hotel. She'll just look at him. Hey, the pastor has gone off. It will affect him. Yeah. What if they are 17? And all of them know in social media, they just comment, great grace on his post. He will not be seeing great grace. They will be like his witch hunters everywhere. They will be giving him self-control. Yeah. There are things he cannot say because they are there. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Yeah. So don't think because he survived it. See, I heard that I was a man. I forgot, but he wrote a popular book about occultism or something like that. Save and now he's Christ. He said that everybody that was deep into the occult, when they get saved, they never recover from the effects. They never. They just learn to manage it till death. So don't experiment. You don't know what they are going through. Everybody, you see, don't be fooled by pictures. So,
okay, I keep quiet.
Let's continue. How to obey God on time? Trust and have faith in God's faithfulness. In Numbers 23 verse 19, the Bible says, Numbers 23 verse 19, I really like us to read that text. Have faith in faithfulness of God. When God says do something, just obey because he's faithful. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Come on, hallelujah. So God is faithful. Anytime he said, do something, believe him and obey. All together? Just believe him and obey. Have a servanthood heart and sonship mentality. A servant do not argue. When God, when you tell your servant, bring me a cup of water, a servant will not argue. Is that not true? A son will not argue. So when your heart is towards God as a son, as a servant, you have that obedient attitude. Because God said, move, you move. The money I have is not my money, it's God's money. So God said, I need 10,000 naira, you give him. My time is not my time, it's God's time. So God said, move now, because a servant time is not his time. You know that, right? Your boss can say, by 3 a.m., wake up and wash my car. You have to wash, because your time is not your time. As a matter of fact, in Israel, even your child is not your child. Yes. So as a servant, that means anything I have belongs to God. So if God says fast, the food is about, the stomach is his own, so I fast. Hallelujah. Have a sheep mentality. Stop. Bible says, John 10 verse 4 and 27, my sheep follow me. And they have a revelation about obeying God. Be a sheep. Obey the Lord. Follow him. And you will never regret it. In the name of Jesus. It is a new day for you. It's a new day of timely obedience. Everything God has told you before, as you leave this service, act on it. What did I say? Act. Anything God has said and you have been delaying, act on it. 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 Some way. And henceforth, when God tells you to do something, stop analyzing. You know, don't forget, on Sunday, I told us like 8 keys to test the voice of God. Once you are sure, this is God telling me to do this, just do it. Come on, all together. The faster you obey God, the better for you. The faster, the speed. speed of obedience affect your result. You will be early, you will be quick, and you will not miss your seasons in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, on Wednesdays, our days of Holy Taking Communion. So why do we take the Holy Communion one every day? You know, today the Lord gave me a word for today's communion. John chapter 6, verse 53 to 54. The Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man decoratively and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Bible says, I have come that you may have life and have life in abundance. Once we partake of the Holy Communion, everything dead in our life and in our system should come alive. Because it is an injection of the life, or a physical action of the injection of the life of God afresh. Hallelujah. Making contact with anything dead in our blood should cleanse it. Anything dead in our cells should be resuscitated. Anything dead in our life. So as we take this communion this evening, I want us to prepare our mind that this bring life to my body. Are we together? Come on, are we together? This bring life to my mind. This bring life to every area of our life. So before we do that, can we be on our feet? And first of all, let's appreciate God for his word. And say, Father, thank you for speaking to me this evening. Please open your eyes so I can be able to receive the communion. Open your mind and begin to say, and say, Lord, thank you for your word. I receive the grace to obey. Thank you for the word. Yes. Thank you for the word this evening. Thank you for the word this evening. Let's open our mouth and appreciate him. And say, Lord, I receive the grace to obey you. Man, take care, the brother, but Lord, don't see the balakadi. I receive the grace to obey.
My hallelujah belongs to me.
Talk to God, the Lord, this communion communicate life to my body.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Hey, my hallelujah belongs to you.
Talk to God, Lord, as I partake of the Holy Communion, you say, do this in remembrance of me. It communicates life. Anything dead in my life, come alive. Any sickness in my body is washed. Every infirmity, any dead thing in myself, every virus, every bacteria, every fungi, every dead spiritual life comes alive. Makela baya galaga dele gede ragadia. Ziana malanda baragade. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father Lord, you say we should do this in remembrance of you. And you say your body is life. As we take of this communion, I declare that in the name of Jesus, it is consecrated for this purpose alone. We declare that it brings healing to our body. Anyone here with any blood disease, receive divine healing. Anyone here with any problem of your cell, mutation, any abnormality, the power of God is corrected. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this communion as we partake of it. It corrects every error in us, in our health, in the name of Jesus. Let the quickening spirit of God be activated in our life. Let every virus be choked.
Let every bacteria be choked. Let every ancestral problem be solved. Thank you, Lord, because you honor your word. We declare it so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. You can take up the Holy Communion. Lord, we thank you. After you can begin to appreciate God and say, Father, thank you for healing me.